To episode 225 of Taking the Charge podcast with you from Regensburg, Germany. I'm David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for stopping by. Lots of hoops going on right now, and the DDS Next Generation tournament from EuroLeague, the under-18 tournament, is about to tip off on Friday in Barcelona, Hospitalet, and I'm actually heading off there tomorrow, and we'll be taking in the tournament. And so just going to talk a little bit about that tournament, and then introduce the interviews and then head off. So if you want to get in contact with the show, you can catch me on Twitter at Hein News, H-E-I-N-N-E-W-S. The email address is heinnews@gmx.de. The Facebook group is Taking the Charge Podcast. Just put that in the search box and you'll find Taking the Charge Podcast. You can go to iTunes, rate and review the show. The website is heinnews.com. And you can go to Patreon and support the show. Patreon.com/Taking the Charge, all one word. You can keep the show alive and show your love for what we do here. All right, so the Hospitalet is obviously the first tournament this year. A change of pace compared to until the past few years, with the cancellation of the Rome tournament, which was always right after Christmas. This time around have Hospitalet, Kaunas, and then Coin, which is near Malaga. And then you have Belgrade to finish off the qualifying tournaments. Kaunas is next week. I think it's the 12th. Yeah, 12th to the 14th. And then the other two, Coin and Belgrade, are in the second half of February. Just to talk a little bit about the tournament in Hospitalet, I'd say the overwhelming favorite is Barcelona. They are obviously the defending champions, but they also have a pretty loaded team. It just seems to me that they are without a doubt the team to beat there. Look at their roster, and you have Arnas Felica, the point guard from the Lithuanian national team, Sergi Martinez, David Font. You also have the nice Serbian forward, Andrea Marjanovic. Put on top of that, you also have Luka Samanic from Croatia, 2000 born, also 2000 born, Nikola Cicic from Montenegro, and it's just a pretty exciting group of players. I'd say they are the pretty overwhelming favorites. They are in group. Let's see if I can get this. Sorry about this. They are in Group A with Union Olimpia. Union Olimpia from Slovenia. Actually, don't know too much about their team. We'll be honest. Lots of 2000s and actually a couple. Actually, 2001. The other two teams in their group, in Group A, are Alba Berlin and Herbalife Gran Canaria. Alba Berlin have a couple interesting guys. I'm kind of looking forward to see Badu Buck. The Berlin people asked me to feature them on the Players to Watch. Philipp Herkenhoff, who's from the Rastafechte team club, is going to be playing there. Fritz Wagner is the younger brother of Moritz Wagner. He's a 2001. You also have Jonas Matisak and Henrik Drescher, two 2000 kids. So going to be kind of interesting to see those guys. If Gran Canaria, hang on a second. Gran Canaria is not the CBA. This is Gran Canaria. Their main guy that I'm really looking forward to seeing is Alexander Oleg Balsarovsky, who was actually on the Jordan Brand Classic in last year, 2000 born. So he should be pretty interesting to see. He was supposed to play at the under 16s and supposed to actually be one of the main guys there, but got hurt just before. So really looking forward to seeing him. Obviously, Barcelona clear favorite in that group. The other group is Cedevita Panathinaikos, the host Torrance Vicens Hospitalet, and Divina Seguras Joventut Badalona. Cedevita unfortunately won't have Dusan Musa, who was called back to the senior team because they have a couple of injuries and they need him to play. Their two main guys will be Darko Bayo and Antonio Giordano. But as any Croatian team, it's going to be interesting to see some of the other guys that will be playing there. Those are two guys that I know pretty well. Juventud actually have a couple of pretty interesting guys. Pedro Barros is played for Brazil. He's actually Spanish-born, but played for Brazil. He's 2000-born, pretty interesting guy. I liked what they had in him last year, so it'll be interesting to see how he developed. Joel Parra obviously played at three championships last year. Played under 16s, under 17 world, and under 18s. Karl Karpin is Estonian, 2000 born, pretty big kid, and then the top guy from last year will be back, and that being Pep Busquets. And this is a team that over the last 2 years has improved. 2 years ago, they won their first ever game at the Data Sync Generation Tournament, and then last year actually won two games. This is Joventut. Joventut. You know, they have high aspirations, but really haven't done much really of late, so it'll be interesting to see what they do. Go to the Hospitalet. I really don't know too much about this team. The guy that they asked me to feature said who's going to be sort of their main guy is Raul Verano. But really, otherwise, don't know too much about them. But like I said, they have had the success of the last two seasons, so come some expectations maybe this time around. Panathinaikos is actually going to be making the first time they're playing at this tournament. Georgios Kalitsakis was on the under 18 team in Samson as a 99 born. Probably the biggest name is Kalaros Alvertis, of course, the son of the legendary Panathinaikos player. Don't know too much about this team, so it'll be interesting to see. This is actually the first time that Panathinaikos have ever played in this tournament, so we'll see what they bring to the table. That's a quick rundown. I'd say Barcelona, overwhelming favorites, maybe face Badalona. They actually go to semifinals on this in this tournament. So you'll actually be top two going on to the semifinals. All right. Interviews. Probably. I'll probably start. I'm going to start with Australian Jonah Bolden, who is 96 born and played was at UCLA for 2 years, and made some headlines back in June or so when he decided he was going to leave UCLA to turn professional and ended up at FMP in Belgrade. So I had a chance to talk to him. Also wrote up something about him for Ridiculous Upside, so you can go Ridiculous Upside and read that. But this is my chat with Jonah Bolden. After that is an interview with Brad Wanamaker, talking about the NBA, talking about some stuff about living in Istanbul and some tough times. So without further ado, Jonah Bolden, and then after that will be Brad Wanamaker. So enjoy, and talking in a bit. All right, so Jonah Bolden, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking some time.
Thank you, no problem.
I guess why don't we first start off with your playing out here in Europe. You're with FMP, Belgrade, first division team in Belgrade, also playing in the ABA League, the Adriatic League. Maybe just first, we'll go into some more details, just maybe first thoughts about being out here in Europe in general and Belgrade in specific.
It's a good learning experience, that's for sure. It's different in nearly every aspect to what I've been used to. I mean, it's my first time actually coming over here to Europe to play. I mean, on the court, you know, players are, I mean, coming from college, even that aspect, coming from there and coming over here to a grown man's league and just European players in general, it's just different style of play, you know, more higher IQ, more, a lot more sets, you know, more half court style, coaching style, and just culture off the court. You know, guys are very, very welcoming and family oriented, and they like to do things together as a team, and which is good. You know, it's different, and it's a great learning experience for me, and this team especially is a special one, and so far I'm liking it. So,
you've played FMP is right now only playing ABA games. The Serbian League games will be coming up later on in the season. Maybe thoughts about the competition. I mean, you played Pac-12 with UCLA, and you know, looking at you know, the ABA League, you know, there's you know, it's a lot of high level Balkan countries. Mainly Balkan countries. Maybe thoughts about the competition level.
I mean, it's different to Pac-12, with just stronger, bigger guys. I mean, some guys are like 35 years old. You know, they've been playing for a while. The IQ is definitely up there. It's slower than the Pac-12. You know, you got every team. Nearly every team has at least one import. Some teams have three, so then there's the American side of it too, where you got athletes that'll run and push it, and you know, they're able to create. So it's kind of got a little bit of Pac-12 in there, but it's mainly European style. So it's just higher IQ. And for me, I've had to you know, acclimate to a slower game, but a higher IQ, guys decision making much quicker, and knowing the sets, you know, just from playing for so long. So
I know Slobodan, right? Slobodan Klipa is the coach, right?
Yeah, well, he was. We got a new coach now, actually.
Did that just happen? Did I just miss that?
About 2 weeks ago now.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know exactly who the coach is yet, but at least with Slobodan Klipa, I know that Let's say his English wasn't fantastic, as far as what I could tell from the times I talked to him. And you know, watching the games on the YouTube channel, you could tell he was, you know, speaking Serbo-Croat, and just wondering basically in general how that is for you. I mean, I saw a couple times, you know, Kovac, you know, Filip going over there and, you know, and giving you some instructions. Do you have a guy designated sort of helping you out with language or what?
Yeah.
How's that been for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously different. I mean, because I'm used to just, like, obviously talking English and
being able to understand.
Exactly. Not understand everything, and coaches using slang and terminology all different. But with Slobo, it was he knew a couple words. He didn't really know English, but I have one of the coaches, Zade. He's a translator, so he translates most of it when we're talking, like timeouts or you know, practice. And the guys on the team actually know a pretty good English. You know, I mean, sometimes I have to repeat myself, but Filip probably knows the best English, and he speaks to me and translates a little bit. But the new coach knows the most pretty good English, and he's pretty good. And I mean, overall, it's not too bad. I mean, there's times where the language barrier has been a bit difficult, because then, you know, just coming down, and they'll call a play in Serbian and I won't understand it, and then something will happen, and they'll realize, you know, shoot, maybe it was because, you know, the language barrier. But overall, it's not too bad.
How has it helped you, the experience of going through the adversity of not understanding the coach's instructions, not understanding a play call? How has that helped you?
Right. It's definitely taught me patience. You know, it's given me a lot of patience that I didn't have before. Being able to just, you know, take a moment to just ask him to repeat, or I'd have to just wait and just watch the guys, you know, and then be like, oh yeah, you know, the three's coming off a down screen, and then realizing, oh, you know, it's fist down or something like that. And so then I have to, you know, go off what they've done and then figure it out that way. So it definitely taught me patience.
Maybe talk about where your game's at. We'll talk about the departure from UCLA a little bit in a little bit, but you know, one of the main things was a position wise. Maybe how are you being used? You know, more three than four, more four than three. Maybe talk about your usage and what how you're taken to that.
So with Slobo, I was playing three and four, more four than three. You know, I was starting at the four, and then he'd put in a four, and I'd go to the three for a bit, and then he'd bump me out, and then I'd come back in as a four. But over here, I feel like, because for me coming over here, I didn't realize that the four and the three are pretty much similar in that they play a lot of perimeter. You know, the four sets the screen, he'll pop. Sometimes a three will set a screen. Sometimes a five will set a screen for me. And so I've been able to adjust real well to being able to play looking in, you know, not post out, and being able to create up the perimeter, or pick pop and pass, and then go on screen and then pop again, you know, that type of stuff. But with the new coach has got me playing a lot more four than three. But it hasn't been too much of an issue, as I've still, you know, I get the rebound, I dribble it up, or I'll be able to create off the dribble and stuff like that. So position wise, I'm playing what I want to play, the 3-4, and it's been good. So,
I noticed in the last game against Budućnost that you took a lot more 3-pointers, actually double that you've taken actually in the season before until then. And hit 50% of them, hit four threes, and actually didn't take a shot inside. Was that just circumstances in the game?
I was more circumstances. I mean, I came out you know, ready to play a normal game, you know, trail, blah, blah, blah. But I got into foul trouble. I sat out pretty much the whole second quarter, third quarter, and then fourth quarter, we were down by 20 and, I don't know, 18, something like that. So I just came in and hit my first one and felt good, and then just went for another one and just kept going. So I wasn't really thinking too much. I was just trying to get, yeah, I was back in the game, and then I had an open shot, some threes, and then I was just taking it.
How'd that feel for you? I mean, because, you know, obviously if you're going to play a three or a four, you know, at a higher level, you're going to have to play on the wing. You have to be able to hit those shots. And you know,
yeah,
you know, you hadn't taken a lot of threes until right. that point. What was it like to, you know, to see, okay, you know, you've always believed in your shot and everything, but, you know, to actually go out right. there and really hit a lot.
It felt good. I mean, it definitely gave me confidence. I mean, no confidence that I didn't have, just, you know, confidence seeing the ball go through the net is always good for a player. And after the second one, I was like, okay, you know, come off the screen, hit another one. And then we had a timeout, and coach ran a play for me to come off a, you know, Philip passed to me, handoff, come off a flare for a three, hit that. And so I was like, okay, you know, this is something that I knew I had, and now I'm able to, you know, I definitely had that to a bag, so it's good. And now I just need to focus more on my breakdown, one-on-one off the dribble type game. So
what are you working on, you know, maybe some facets of the game where
yeah
where you're working yeah. on now?
Yeah, like I said, off the dribble, being able to, you know, I've hit my third three, my defenders up in me now, I would take them off the dribble, or an up fake one dribble pull up. I've been doing a lot around the cone dribbling, so, you know, getting around my man and then creating after I pass him, and, you know, being able to see the open guy and stuff like that. So,
maybe talk about let's go pull back to the decision for you for when you decided to. When you decided to leave UCLA, I mean, you had the yeah. tough situation where you didn't play your freshman year at being academically ineligible, and then you finally got on the court and actually, you know, start some games and then you know, maybe just talk us through a little bit sort of about the whole situation, and maybe what you know, looking back, you know, how do you see it, the decision then to leave. To leave UCLA and turn professional?
I think for me, it was the best decision. I still live by it. For me, it was just a game time decision. I had been thinking about it for a while. It had nothing to do with UCLA themselves. It was just more thinking about the last season and how, you know, I could have like contributed a lot more in different aspects. You know, I didn't play too much three, and then I would have liked to play a lot more three. I was, you know, setting screens and stuff like that. I just felt I could have been utilized a little bit better, and I just thought, you know, it's my decision. It's time for me to just start my new chapter and begin working on myself and getting ready. And it turned out to be the best decision. Coming over here against these guys, bigger, stronger than me, has definitely helped me so far and getting me ready. So
how would you define your time in UCLA?
Great. I mean, it's gotten me to where I am today. You know, I definitely appreciate everything that they've done, and without that, I can't say I would be where I am today. So I mean, everything is a learning experience for me. You know, my first year sitting out, I got to study the books and watch a lot of film. And I mean, that's all I really could do. You know, I couldn't practice with them for the first quarter or so. And I was just going after film sessions. And then the second year when I could play, you know, I was able to utilize all that. And then, you know, playing with the guys, older guys, you know, Tony Parker, and then actually being coached by Coach Alford. You know, we'd have one-on-one sessions with Coach Schilling and all those guys. You know, we all still keep in touch, so it's good. You know, they talk about family and they stick by it, so they're great bunch of guys, and they're actually doing pretty well now. So
yeah, I was just gonna say, you watching them? You watching what they're doing
out there now? I'm definitely keeping in touch and still following them. You know, I mean, you don't lose that part of you once you go to UCLA. You're always gonna be a Bruin. So.
I think it was 13 that Lonzo Ball had yesterday, 13 assists.
Yeah, you set a record.
Yeah, maybe just what you're, obviously you're not there, but maybe, you know, how much would you have liked to have played with him just to experience, you know, his playmaking ability?
I mean, he looks fun to play with, you know, watching some games, and he's got that run and gun style, and he's able to create for others. So that's always fun to have a player that can do that for you. You know, you want to play with guys like that, and so that's just a bonus.
When you were making the decision, was going to the Australian NBL, was that an option at all for you?
No, not really. To be honest with you, I never really wanted to go back there and play. Just, I always had my eyes kind of on over here in Europe, just because I knew that how much this would help me with just helping my IQ, you know, just the being around these guys and knowing that these guys have the IQ, you know, and the help that the Olympics run at the same time. And Serbia was playing USA in the ring game, so that was hit from Petter. So.
And how did you land up at FMP? I mean, obviously, you know, agent plays a big role in it, but, you know, like, what were some of the things that you were looking at?
I mean, agent had a couple options. I mean, he said this is probably the best one for me. You know, it's a young team. You got some older guys, you got some young guys, so it's a good, there's good balance. They're connected to the sister team, the Red Star, so you'll be in good touch with them. You know, our next game is against them. Mm-hmm. It was more just being able to see that there's a good balance here. My agent said, you know, it's a great team, I trusted him, and it's turned out great. So
is there any chance to play with Red Star, or are you just with exclusively with FMP then this season?
I mean, they're connected, so there's the opportunity. I mean, if I get the opportunity, I don't know if I'll do it, just based on they've got, you know, older guys that are in their concrete positions that have been there for years, and so I don't know how I'll be able to go over there and then I just think, you know, FMP right now for me is best, you know, as it's. Like I said, the balance of the young guys, all the guys, and I'm able to play my true position. I don't know how it worked there, you know, but you never know. So
yeah, was the 16 draft, was that ever a possibility? How much of a of a thought process was that?
Not really. I mean, I been thinking about it, but then I was just like, you know, I let me do one more year, you know, go professionally. That would help me extremely, extremely well, and it has done so far. And I stick by this decision, and it's the best decision I've made so far. So,
do you feel like you're on a mission?
Yes, sir.
Why,
definitely.
Why do you say that?
I've been on a mission since I came from Australia to Vegas, and then Vegas to New Hampshire, and then obviously New Hampshire to UCLA. So, I mean, until I get to where I want to get to, the ultimate goal, and then keep going from there, I'm always going to be on a mission. So,
2017 draft next June, is that what you're aiming for right now?
Yep.
And what kind of I guess first, you know, what kind of prospects do you think you have of getting in that draft?
I mean, that's solely up to me, you know. I mean, it's as in up to me, as in I got to put in the work, and I got to get, you know, do my thing, and obviously create some noise, and just you know, go out and play my game, and then the results will come. But you know, I'm just taking each day by day and you know, going, working out, and then coming back, and we have 2 days, and then we have lifting, and then, so it's all helping me get towards where I want to be, and timing wise, I think it's going to work out well, and then we'll see where we're at. So,
NBA teams, you know, very often, you know, want a guy to do a specific thing. Maybe what do you think that you can offer? What, like, one distinguishable thing you think you can offer an NBA team?
One thing,
or a couple things.
Well, I can definitely add rebounding. You know, length and rebounding. You know, getting the rebound and then pushing the floor. You know, having your three men get the rebound and push the floor while the one and the two and the four run. And then stretch the floor, you know, being able to stretch the floor and use my IQ of what I know to create for other players and then, you know, create for myself. So I see myself being a player that can create for others while doing stuff for myself. So.
So you left college early to become a professional. That's happened in collegiate basketball. You know, you saw Emmanuel Mudiay go to China to play, you know, this year. Terrence Ferguson going to Adelaide to play there. And, you know, obviously those two guys are basically high school to professional, but professional abroad. What do you think about this sort of, do you think it can be a trend? Do you think it is a trend? And do you think it's something that more people are going to use, and what kind of advantages do you think they might have out of that?
I mean, it's definitely an option. You know, the college isn't for everybody, you know, so some players might want to take this option, and even if college is for them, they might realize that maybe this is the better option for my future, and this is what I need to do for 12 months or so, or whatever it is, and go and better my game and better my knowledge of the game and help myself for my future. So if it best suits you, then why not? You know, if it's something that you want to do and something that you know is going to be different and ultimately help you, then go for it.
A little bit of national team stuff. Looking back, you played for Australia at the Under-19 World Championship in 2014. You played with Dante Exum there. What your best memories are of that tournament, looking back, and maybe how much did that exposure of playing against all the great players in that tournament, how much did that help you take the next step?
It helped me a lot. I mean, I was 16 then or 17. I was the youngest on the team, so I wasn't, I mean, coach told me from day one, you know, I wasn't coming on the team to make a huge impact. You know, you already had the older guys, and I was bumped up from the younger national team to this. So it was more of a learning experience for me, and it turned out to be a great one. You know, playing against guys that are now, you know, a lot of them are in the league now, and that kind of opened up my eyes to, you know, shoot, this is kind of where I want to be, you know, and that was, I think, a couple months before I made my decision to go to America to play high school. So that definitely contributed to my decision to want to, you know, broaden my horizons. Basketball wise, and start my ultimate journey. So,
and the 2015 summer, obviously you had been coming off the year where you didn't play at UCLA, and there was the Under-19 World Championship. Was that something that you were even considering at all, or were you just saying, right, look, man, I lost that first year and I want to totally focus my energy and everything on UCLA, or was the Under-19s a possibility?
That was more of how I thought about it. I mean, I was speaking to the coach of the team at the time, and he said, obviously the ball's in your hands. It's up to you. You know, the situation you had about not playing, appreciated that, and then put some thought into it. Spoke to Coach Alford and coaches there, and we all just thought, you know, best for me to stay. You know, I was in summer school, so it was best for me to stay. Focus on the year that was coming up, and getting back into the groove of things. You know, as an official player now, you know, I was playing. So, yeah.
Did you watch it?
Yeah. I watched some games. Definitely, we had a one of our players, UCLA, Thomas Welsh.
Thomas Welsh, right? Exactly. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So he was on the team, on the USA team. So we had a team sometimes watch some games and when we could. So.
How much of the Olympics did you watch? Obviously, a great run by the Aussies, and you know, coming up just short, and even in the bronze medal game. What'd you think of the run over the summer?
Yeah, I mean, it was great for Australian basketball, that's for sure. I mean, giving everyone the credit that they deserve. You know, the hard work that the teams and the players have put in. You know. It was just great basketball. I mean, the Olympics is always competitive and good basketball and entertaining. So I mean, it was coincidental that I got to Serbia when this Serbia was playing against USA in the ring game. So that was also a good learning experience for me, sitting around all the Serbian guys when we were watching the game. So
that's right. Of course, Serbian guys were watching the game too.
Yeah.
You know, you're part of sort of a next wave generation. You look at you look at Dante Exum, you look at Ben Simmons, you know, Thon Maker's gonna probably put on the Australian jersey as well. You have Isaac Humphrey, Dang Adel. Besides the guys who are still there. How much you know, what are your thoughts about, let's say, this next generation of youngsters ready to take over the national team?
It's exciting, you know, a lot of us are in touch with each other, and you know, we're kind of, like you said, the next generation, the next wave, and that's you know, always exciting and fun to be a part of, and definitely, you know, we're definitely looking forward to it. You know, we there's been some talk about, you know, the 2020 Olympics and, you know, the team and stuff like that. I mean, it's a long way away. Also, at the same time, you know, we just finished the 2016 Olympics, so it's exciting, you know, but we've all got different paths we're on right now in the present, you know, so. So it's definitely something that we're looking forward to, but not taking too much into you know, in mind right now. So,
how much is 2020 Olympics sort of a, let's call it a dream even for you? I mean, you'll be 24, so and you know, wherever you'll be at that point, you know, but you'll be 24, and so you'll have all of those years before that. How much of a dream would it be to be in Tokyo?
Oh, it would definitely be a dream come true. I mean, any athlete that makes the Olympics can't say that it wasn't a dream, you know. So it'd definitely be a dream come true and fun to be a part of, and there would be a great group of guys on the team, and going up against competition like that is always fun and you know, something that you want to be a part of. So
let's finish up a little bit with your dad. Obviously he played, you know, for two decades in Europe and Australia. How much of an influence did he have on you, and maybe how much do you still talk to him, let's say, about the game? How much is the game and maybe the learning part of the game a part of what you guys talk about?
I mean, it's probably about 75% of what we talk about when he calls, and most of the time he calls every couple of days just to check up and see how I'm doing. But he's definitely been the number one fan, you know, supporter, and you know, he's helped me since day one. He helped me with a lot, you know. So he was a power forward, so more of a back to the basket type player, and he's helped me with my, you know, post game a little bit. You know, that's another thing that I've been working on, you know, being able to exploit the mismatches and, you know, even off the court type stuff, you know, just being professional and being over here by myself, you know, one of the younger guys on the team, you know, you gotta learn from the older guys, respect and that type of stuff. So.
Favorite part about being in Serbia?
Shoot. The food is real good. I mean, it's real good and it's cheap too. The prices here are real cheap.
All right. I guess maybe last thing, you know, you guys are in the middle of the ABA season right now. You know, the Serbian Serbian league is going to be taken off then the next part of it soon. Thoughts and expectations, goals for the rest of the season for you and for the team.
Team wise, I just think taking game by game. I mean, so far we've you know the past couple games we've lost a couple the past couple games. So it's been a tough road the past couple games for us. You know, then having to adjust to a new coach and new plays and everything new. So right now it's just we're taking each day by day, game by game, and you know. We're just trying to come together and get that niche where we're on a good groove with each other and as a team and finally get things going. Personally, for me, the same thing, taking game by game and seeing where I can help my team. You know, if I need to play the four the whole game, play the four, play the three. You know, whether I'm scoring a lot for the team that game or rebounding, you know, just whatever. Whatever I need to do to help my team that game. So,
all right, fantastic. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, Ben. Thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate the time. I guess first of all, you know, you're down at Dašovaka Goš now. Maybe just in general, your thoughts about being down in Turkey and being in the you know, you're in the Turkish Airlines EuroLeague again, and with a big team, and thoughts about being there with the club and how you're doing so far this season. What kind of thought process did you go to Turkey with? You know, you had a really tremendous season in Bamberg. You guys won the title and really were on the doorsteps of the playoffs. You know, surprised a lot of people with some really great basketball. You being, you know, really one of the leaders. What kind of mindset did you go, you know, and you were pretty sought after. After that season, what kind of mindset did you go into this season with? Maybe, you know, in Germany, obviously, Bamberg was the power. But, you know, internationally, you know, they were still sort of the annoying little fish that would bite
on, you know, and, you know, steal your bait and stuff like that. But, you know, they weren't really the big fish in European basketball. You know, you're going to a club that really has high aspirations. Does that give you an added pressure as well, knowing that you're also one of the leaders on a team that has pretty high goals and wants to achieve some pretty big things?
No, I just go out there and just try to play my game. You know, I don't try to put any pressure on myself. Because when you put pressure on yourself, you're not playing your game. You know, you're constantly looking over your shoulder, making sure you did the right thing. So, for me personally, I don't put any pressure on myself. Maybe people around, maybe expect certain things out of me, but as an individual, my job is to just go out there and play hard every game and try to get my team the best of my ability each and every night.
You know, you guys are just barely a third through the EuroLeague season. I guess with 30 games, and you're at 11 games now. Maybe, you know, how you feel about the season. You know, I mean, there's still so many more games, and you know, you guys are right there, tight race. You know, for you know, one of the, you know, let's say 5 to 8 or wherever, somewhere around there. How do you feel with you know, with the development of the team? You know, looking at the placement of the season where we're at right now.
Man, I feel very confident. You know, just for playing with this team and winning games and losing games. You know, we lost some games in which we beat ourselves. This past week we went to Spain and played Baskonia. I feel as though they beat us pretty good. But this can be a wake up call for us. You know, to get better and take it more personal. You know, and don't let guys push us around. You know. I think we had a pretty good start so far to our first 11 games, you know, us being a new team and still learning each other as the season going along. But I think it's time for us to buckle down and all get on the same page and win some games, you know, especially to make the early playoffs. It's a tight race as you see it, but anytime you get a game or two ahead of somebody, it's good.
What do you think about this format? What do you think about the format of this, where you have where you're playing each team, each of the 15 teams twice, and then you go straight from there to the quarterfinals? You know, just having that really, really long regular season for the EuroLeague.
Man, it's fun because you're constantly playing games, but at the same time, it's pretty tiring. You know, we don't, a lot of travel and a lot of games back to back. You know, it takes a toll on the body, but. In the same breath, you know, you're constantly playing a game you love and having more games to practice. So it's fun. You get to travel to the world and see different places. Sometimes twice a week, you're in a different country, maybe three. It's fun. It's fun at the same time. You can take a toll on the body.
Happy that there's four teams in Istanbul in the league, right?
Yeah, it's perfect for us. You know, we got a few games in which we don't have to travel too far.
Exactly. Cross town or whatever, right?
maybe
talk about Istanbul in general. I mean, you're from Philly. You know, you're at Pittsburgh to go to college. You were in Italy and France, Limoges, and you know, Bamberg's obviously, you know about 75,000 people, and then you go to this huge metropolitan Istanbul. How you liking? How you dealing with the big city Istanbul?
Oh man, it's really, really big city. You know, it took a second for me to get used to. But you know, I love it here. You know, it's a big city with a lot of things to do, a lot of places to go to eat. You know, there's always something new you could venture out and do on a daily basis. You know, obviously we just had a tag the other day, explosion at a soccer game. So people are on their pens and needles, but for the most part, you feel pretty safe here. It's crazy for me to say that because of the explosion, but it's a pretty safe place and a pretty safe area that they have to play in. So you're not in an area where everything's going on, but you know, it's still a little scary.
How do you deal with that? I mean, you know, I have a trip going to Spain. I mean to Turkey. In a couple of days, I'm going to this under 18. It's in Samsun. It's not even in Istanbul. And you know, people are all saying, you know, hey, don't go there. And you know, I mean, nothing's going to happen in Samsun. But you know, just you know, going through Istanbul. You know, how do you deal with that? I mean, is that something that you know, you just don't even think about, or just say, well, you know, you could die in a car crash tomorrow, or how do you deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, you could say you could die in a car crash, you know, or anything, you know. They say when it's your time. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, these attacks have been towards, like, the government and the police, not towards civilians. So, you know, it's hard to say that I feel safe, you know, but, you know, I talk to the Turkish players a lot, and they tell us that where we stay at is the safest place out here, and they tell us the areas to stay away from, and to let us know that they're only checking, like, the police, and because there's some government stuff that's going on. But in the same breath, they're from here, they've been dealing with it. I'm not used to this, so I'm uneasy a little bit. And
yeah, sure.
It's pretty scary, you know?
Yeah, of course, man.
You make a wrong turn, you're in the wrong place, and something can happen.
Yeah. Maybe talk a little bit about, you mentioned, you know, David Blatt as a coach, obviously, you know, had a huge name, you know, built up a huge reputation with the Russian national team, with Maccabi and with the other teams that he coached before, even before that, you know, went over to the States and was obviously with Cleveland, the situation that totally changed when LeBron came over, and now he's back in Europe. I don't know what kind of interaction you may have had with him beforehand, but what do you think about Coach and maybe you know, what's your feeling about him being back in Europe?
Man, he's a great coach. He's even a better person. You know, mm-hmm. He understands your life. He understands what people go through on a daily basis. You know, he tries to be your friend just as much as he'd be your coach. You know, he's constantly giving us advice on and off the court. He knows the game. He won on the highest level. He coached LeBron James, the best player in the world at this moment. He won the early with Maccabi. So he's a guy you got to respect. He's very humble at the same time. You know, he comes and lets you know what you need to do to better yourself and better the team. You know, his knowledge is unbelievable. So, you know, he's constantly picking up mine. I just know what we got to do, what we have to do to improve. You know, as I say, we're struggling at the moment, but he's making sure that everybody's be confident and letting us know that we are just as talented as the other teams.
What's he telling you to do? Or that how you can get better? What are you taking from him as far as ways that you can take your game to the next level?
He's just saying be aggressive. You know, play your game. You know, sometimes he tells me I'm not playing my game, or I don't know how to explain. He's just telling me basically just to be myself. Do what got me here. You know, and everything else will fall in place. You know, you used to, at night, you will make turnovers or you will miss shots. But if you stay confident and continue to play your game, you'll be good. And constantly telling us he's behind us, regardless of the results of the game or what you shoot from the field or how your performance was. He's telling us the next day, next game, to keep your head up.
I also want to ask you about the NBA. You know, there's people saying that, you know, the way you're playing right now, you know, you're a guy that can definitely play at that level. When you hear about the NBA, what do you think about it?
Oh man, I think I want to be there. That dream, you know, year in and year out, you're constantly waiting for that call or that contract for somebody to say, we want you, it's time, and, you know, I'm just still working hard and trying to make that dream come true, not only for myself, but for my family back home. played basketball as well, and I'm the one that's still standing tall. So if I make it, we all make it, you know. And I'm just working hard and trying to get that call, you know. And Coach Blake, you know, him being around, you know, what it takes to be at the highest level. He's helping me out. He's letting me run the show here and just telling me do my job and everything else will fall in place.
Does he exude to you confidence, saying that, you know, hey man, you know, hey, you're really darn close, and the people there, you know, because I know because I was there, they're recognizing that. Is that something that he's actually gone to you and talked to you about?
No, he tried to stay away from the NBA, you know, early in the season. He said a little bit to us about it, but he told us to focus on this season and the Euro League and the Turkish League and everything else before I finish, you know. You see, our main goal is this, you know, you take care this season here, the sky's the limit for what's to happen next. So, I mean, again, the season, you know, he said a few things to us about the NBA, but for the most part, we haven't really talked about it.
But do you want to get there?
I want to get there, though.
What part of it drives you most now, let's say, because I mean, you've really made your name over the last like year and a half, 2 years, you know, and you know, you've gotten a lot closer, you know, just because you've raised your level, you know, how is your drive bigger now than it was, you know, let's say after college, after you came over, you know, you played D League, you know, but how is your drive bigger now knowing that you're closer?
I wouldn't say it's bigger. You know, it's pretty much been the same. It's just, you know, opportunity. You know, when you, I'm an opportunist. You know, when I see a team in which I had the opportunity to go and show what I could do, it showed the world. You know, when I was in Italy, you know, I was able to go and play my game, and they got recognition from all over. And then I came to Germany, and you know, I had a better team, and I still was able to play my game. And then the second year I was there was in EuroLeague, so it was an even bigger stage. And I was even able to show mostly all of Europe my game, and you know, you put in the honors level of Europe, and attract more NBA teams and stuff like that. So it just going level up every year and just showing them that I'm capable of playing on this high level at a good, you know, pace, and it's drawing more interest. You know, my drive has been the same, but you know, just with it being closer, it motivates me a little bit more, but I'm pretty much had the same drive since day one.
You grew up in Philly. Were you a Sixers fan? Did you have a rooting interest in the NBA at all?
Diehard Sixers fan. You know, I grew up in an Allen Iverson era.
Okay.
You know, so I was a diehard. You know, all my parents could afford it. They would take us to the games. So it was great coming up.
And what do you remember about those games? What do you remember about those games?
Just Iverson, you know, going out there and giving it a call. He played on one of the teams that wasn't the most talented in the NBA, but each and every night, he made sure his team had a chance of winning the game. You know, whether it was down on the floor, getting a steal, defending, scoring 50 points, he did whatever it takes to win.
And then that kind of that team leadership was, you know, kind of not necessarily instilled in you, but you kind of took that too a little bit on your own, then, huh?
Yeah, you know, that toughness, you know, that will to win by any means, you know, is something that Iverson showed, and something that I try to instill in myself. You know, I'm not the same player as he was, but mm-hmm. You try to pick and take a few things from the greats.
Knowing that a guy like Malcolm Delaney, who came over here and really pretty much won everywhere he played, and you know, played at a super high level, knowing that he's gone over and done a really good job in Atlanta, and how much, let's say, confidence or whatever does that give you, saying, you know, that, okay, you know, these guys do recognize, you know, high-level play in Europe, you know, not just a European draft pick or whatever, but the, you know, Americans who go over, you know, bust their butt and play at the really high level, that you can get that chance. You know, how much does Delaney coming over there and doing a good job give you maybe more confidence?
Oh, man, it's you know, and he's out there playing well with Atlanta. You know, he's doing his job, and it's great to see somebody like that because, you know, growing up since we was kids, you know, I played against Malcolm, the AAU tournaments, high school, everything, and to see his growth and him to finally make it was great for me to see. But him doing this, opening it up for guys like myself and others who's been over here grinding and constantly trying to show people that they can play on that level and get back home, you know, he's opened the door for a lot of American basketball players over here.
Where did you play AAU against him then?
Like a little tournament in Baltimore or Washington, D.C.
Okay, okay. Because I know he's playing. He's from
Virginia, yeah. You know.
Okay, from his area then. You guys went from Philly over to tournaments there then?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
All over the country, you know, I've seen them on the street.
Yeah, okay. I want to go back a little bit, just because back in 2007 you were close to making the under-19 team for the World Championship. Maybe, you know, you look at that team and you see, you know Steph Curry's on there, Beverly, you know, Johnny Flynn made the league, DeAndre Jordan, Beasley. What do you remember from that camp, 2007? And maybe how close were you to making that team?
It was a learning experience for myself, you know, just seeing the way, it was something new for me, you know, them guys was high-level players and coming up and stuff, and see the way they work, and they work at it was something new to me. I never seen before. I never knew about, like, working on your game and doing individual work, so I just was going off pure talent in high school, you know, just playing basketball all day, every day. But just seeing them guys, like, at their practice, they would just stay and shoot and work on the game. It was all just toward the high school. You know, I just was playing basketball, going around the city of Philly, you know, Philly. We just play basketball from high school, then you go to the playground, then you go to a rec center. So you just play basketball 24/7. And you were working. And it was learning for me, you know. I wasn't ready for that stage at that moment. Some guys were really good at the time. You know, I competed. I stood my own, but they all had an inch over me. I was here, to be honest.
Did you know then? Could you see then that Steph Curry was going to be like that?
No, you know.
Patrick
like,
Beverly?
Like, he had energy. Yeah, he was going at everybody. Yeah, who else was there? Tyreek Evans was there with us, too. You know, he's from the same area as me. He was there with us, too. But, you know, Patrick Beverly seemed like the best guard to me at the moment. Kind of time for
And you remember Raymar from there, too?
Yeah, Raymar was there, too, yeah.
Want to ask you about another guy, and that'll lead me to another another talking point, Kyle Fogg. Maybe, you know, it's a new thing, and I'm actually still in the process of figuring out more about it, but what does it mean that he's been able to win the TBT 2 years in a row?
Part of it and moving to like China or something like this. I'm not mistaken, but a tournament that's growing.
What do you, you know, you're from Philly, and obviously Philly has a pretty history, storied history of basketball. And, okay, you obviously you didn't go there, and you went to Pitt and everything else, but as a Philly kid and you know, probably, you know, growing up and you know, watching and playing with or against whatever some of those Villanova guys, what did it mean to you that Villanova took the title last year, NCAA title?
It was big, especially for us to meet. I actually had thoughts of going there. Me and Jay Wright are actually cool. We still talk from time to time. He's a really cool guy. We built a relationship. But for me and my career, I think Pittsburgh was the best decision for me, especially to get away from home at the time. But it was great, you know, to see Jay Wright and the boys win their championship, especially for the city, you know, who's always behind the team. Every team in Philly has a big fan base and diehard fans, and so we know what it is humongous for the city.
Maybe just what it'll mean to you. I mean, they came down to Istanbul, but obviously that doesn't mean as much. But what's gonna mean to you March 30th next year when you guys play in Bamberg? You go back up to Bamberg for the first time to play there. What's it gonna mean for you to go back and see that Freak City crowd again?
It's gonna be great, you know. Them two seasons I had, they took me and my family in like no other. You know, my kids enjoyed it, my wife enjoyed it, my kids, you know, they know the language. My son speaks it fluently. Two championships I won there, two winning seasons, you know, made history. I feel like a lot of friendships with a lot of people in the city outside of basketball. So it's a big deal, you know. It's a big, big deal, you know. It's going to be an emotional night for sure. You know, just when I get back there and I just think of all the things that I accomplished in my 2 years, you know, all the people I've met, and all the friends I made on and off the court. It's a day that's definitely circled on my calendar, but I'm patiently waiting for it.
Yeah, a long time, man.
yeah, it's a long time coming.
Yeah, and do you actually share then a couple of stories with Slaughter? You know that he played there, and you know he won some titles there too. Is that something you guys actually talk a little bit about, Bamberg?
Yeah, you know, during the season, you know, we talked a little bit about our times there and. How much the people there love basketball, and how it's cool to go out there and, you know, have this fan support each and every night, you know, the fans are behind them. We talk about, like, how, like, a lot of people go there and, you know, they surrender close to the next level. So, when he left Denver, he went and he won, he's been to, what, three championships and one with Madrid. So, we talked about that a lot.
Okay. Hopefully when you get there, the playoffs are all locked up, right? Being at the end of the regular season, you don't have to worry about needing that victory.
Yeah.
To.
Yeah, that's the key, man.
All right, man. Hey, appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, lots of good stuff. You know, it's always great to see Wanamaker. You know, I'm not going to be able to make that Dashafaka game, unfortunately. It's... I'm actually planning a trip to the States, and probably will be leaving on that day. It really hurts me. I was hoping to maybe leave the day after, but timing of the trip and everything else just will not just work out. Yeah, interesting to see what Bolden is able to do. Seems to be playing pretty well there at FMP, not really high up there on draft boards necessarily, but you know, he's a long guy who can do some things, and he's been playing professional in the Adriatic League now for, you know, half a season, and putting up some decent numbers, and so can offer some NBA teams some nice length. A little bit of a shooter outside. Well, so we'll see. All right, guys, need to run. Still have loads to do before I head out in the morning. Just want to let you know then what you're going to be listening to. The song is called I Want to Do It, and it is by Sunny and the Sunsets. It's available on freemusicarchive.org as almost all the music. Enjoy the hoops this week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hello, my name is Sergio Scariolo, and you are listening to Taking the Charge.